Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to dive into something
Oh, yeah.
that's been debated for like centuries. Where do we draw the line between like local values and like national economic interests? It all comes down to California's Proposition 12 and its journey to the Supreme Court. You sent in some legal documents on this case, eager to understand how the Supreme Court even like reached its decision and what it means for consumers and producers.
That's a good question.
So,
I'm excited to dig into this.
really gets to the heart of how our federal system balances power, between states and the national government, especially when local values kind of butt up against those realities of interstate commerce.
I mean, to fully grasp this case, let's just start with a little thought experiment. Imagine you're a farmer in, say, Iowa, raising pig. All right.
Now imagine California passes a law dictating how those pigs must be housed, even though they're going to be sold like hundreds of miles away. Does California have that power?
That's the question.
That's what this case is all about.
That is what this case is all about.
So
The National Pork Producers Council,
it's California versus the pork industry.
an American Farm Bureau
Oh,
Federation
where?
representing a lot of the pork
Okay,
producers,
so it's like a big group of them.
argued that California overstepped its bounds, placing an undue burden on interstate commerce.
Interesting. Okay, so it's not just some isolated food fight. This case fits into a much larger story.
This case fits into a much
Okay.
larger story.
Yeah.
Exactly. Think back to the very beginning
A much larger story.
of the United States.
Yeah.
We have a very long history of states regulating animal welfare
Okay.
within their borders.
Yeah.
Even a Massachusetts Bay Colony
Wow.
outlawed cruelty to animals all the way back in 1641,
Wow, that's a long time
a
ago.
long time ago.
That's interesting.
Fast forward to today, and we see states like Florida, Arizona, Maine, and many others continuing that tradition.
So California's Proposition 12 is part of this trend, but it definitely stirred up like a hornet's nest.
It did.
Remind us what Proposition 12 actually does.
So Proposition 12 essentially prohibits the sale of pork in California if it comes from breeding pigs, raised in conditions they deem cruel, specifically confinement that prevents a pig from lying down, standing up, fully extending its limbs, or turning around freely.
Got it.
So pretty specific.
So California voters clearly cared about how pigs are treated.
Yeah, they cared.
But I bet this ignited some fiery debate.
I bet.
So what were the main arguments on each side leading up to the vote?
Proponents of Proposition 12 really painted a stark picture of the conditions. Some pigs endure on factory farms, confined to cramped spaces, where they can barely move. They argued this is inhumane, and consumers have a right to know how the pork they buy is produced.
Makes sense.
They also raised concerns about the potential health risks associated with such confinement, for the pigs and for potentially for people.
I'm imagining like the other side of this coin focuses on like the practicalities and
The economics of it
of
all.
all this.
Opponents pushed back hard, arguing that the alternative group housing for pigs could actually lead to more aggression between the animals
Interesting.
and potentially increase the contamination risk,
Oh.
ultimately jeopardizing both animal welfare and consumer safety.
Wow.
So it's an interesting argument.
That's pretty interesting. And of course, there's the financial side of things. Farmers have businesses to run.
Absolutely. Opponents emphasize that complying with Proposition 12 would increase production costs for farmers, which would inevitably be passed on to consumers.
In the form of higher prices.
Makes sense. So we have clashing ethical health and economic concerns. No wonder the National Pork Producers Council and American Farm Bureau Federation stepped in with a legal challenge.
Their core argument hinges on the U.S. Constitution, specifically the Dormant Commerce Clause. They claim that California is overreaching, attempting to regulate commerce beyond its borders and placing an undue burden on the interstate pork market.
This Dormant Commerce Clause sounds like a bit of a legal enigma.
It's a little bit of a.
Can you break it down for us?
Think of it this way. The Constitution empowers Congress to regulate commerce between states.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
The Dormant Commerce Clause is the implied flip side of that coin.
Got it.
It basically prevents states from enacting laws that unduly burden interstate commerce.
Okay.
Even in areas where Congress hasn't specifically legislated.
Oh, that's interesting.
So even though there's no federal law on how pigs are raised,
correct,
the national pork producers are arguing that California's law is...
is meddling.
Meddling with interstate commerce.
With interstate commerce.
Exactly.
Yeah. The heart of the Dormant Commerce Clause
is
this anti-discrimination principle.
Oh.
States cannot use their laws to favor their own businesses.
Okay.
At the expense of those in other states.
Okay.
So,
but hold on. Doesn't Proposition 12 apply equally to all pork sold in California? Regardless of where it's produced.
Key point.
That doesn't sound discriminatory on the surface.
The National Pork Producers and the American Farm Bureau acknowledge that Proposition 12 doesn't explicitly discriminate against out-of-state businesses.
So what's their strategy? How do they build a case if they can't claim outright?
They get a little creative.
Discrimination.
They invoke something called the extraterritoriality doctrine.
Okay.
And they rely on the Pike test.
Okay.
A legal standard established by the Supreme Court.
All right, now we're venturing deeper into the...
Now we're going deep.
Legal weeds.
Yeah.
What exactly are these and how do they apply together?
So the national pork producers contend that
this case,
because California is such a massive consumer of pork, mostly imported from other states, Proposition 12 forces out-of-state producers to change their practices, even if they don't directly sell to California.
Right.
This, they argue, violates the extraterritoriality doctrine, which essentially prevents states from wielding their power beyond their own borders.
So their argument is that even though California isn't directly commanding farmers in Iowa, you must change your ways.
Yes, their argument.
The impact of Proposition 12 is essentially the same thing.
That's their argument.
Wow.
To strengthen their case, they reference past Supreme Court cases like Baldwin, Brown-Forman, and Healy, which dealt with state laws attempting to control out-of-state prices or competition.
So they're trying to lump Proposition 12 in with laws already deemed...
They're trying to fit it into that box.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Even though California isn't dictating out-of-state prices.
Right.
What about this Pike test you mentioned?
Right. So the Pike test comes from the 1970 Supreme Court case.
Okay.
Pike v. Bruce Church, Inc.
Okay.
It requires courts to determine whether a state law's burden on interstate commerce is clearly excessive when weighed against its local benefits.
So it's like a balancing act.
It is a balancing act.
Weighing the economic costs against the potential benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But applying this test to Proposition 12 is where things get complicated.
Okay.
Because we're not just talking about dollars and cents here.
Right.
We're talking about comparing economic costs with non-economic benefits like animal welfare and consumer perceptions of ethical production.
How do you put a price tag on animal well-being?
Yeah.
That seems incredibly difficult.
Right.
If not impossible.
That's the central challenge.
Yeah.
Assigning a concrete value to these kinds of interests is very hard.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
It raises the question of whether judges should substitute their own judgment
for
that of elected officials who are accountable to the voters who passed Proposition 12.
So the court has to weigh these competing interests.
Right.
But it's not a simple math equation.
It's not.
There are ethical considerations.
There are a lot of.
Mixed in with economic realities.
Different things to balance.
What a fascinating dilemma.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a very interesting case.
Where do we go from here?
It really pushes the boundaries of legal interpretation.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the Supreme Court's decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
The moment of truth. What did the highest court in the land have to say about all this?
In a decision that surprised some, the Supreme Court ultimately upheld Proposition 12.
Wow.
Justice Gorsuch, who wrote the majority opinion, zeroed in on the fact that Proposition 12 doesn't discriminate against out-state businesses.
Okay.
The same standards apply to everyone selling pork in California, no matter where that pork is produced.
So California is allowed to set the rules for products sold within its own borders.
Right.
Even if those rules have, like, ripple effects beyond those borders.
Exactly. The court recognized that applying the Pike test in cases like this, where you have those hard-to-quantify non-economic benefits, is incredibly complex.
Yeah.
They emphasize that Proposition 12 falls outside the traditional scope of Pike cases,
okay,
which usually focus on sniffing out discriminatory intent or protecting the flow of goods across state lines.
It sounds like the court was saying California voters weighed the costs and benefits, made their choice, and it's not our place to second guess them.
That's a good summary. However, there were concurring opinions from Justices Sotomayor and Barrett that added some important nuance to the decision.
Concurring opinions, those are always interesting. It's like getting a peek behind the curtain to see how each justice arrived at the same destination, but maybe took a different route. What were these justices focused on?
Both Justices Sotomayor and Barrett agreed that the petitioners, the National Pork Producers, and the American Farm Bureau Federation failed to demonstrate a substantial burden on interstate commerce.
Okay.
This is a crucial part of the Pike test. You need to show a significant burden before the court will even consider weighing it against the local benefits.
Okay, so they agreed on that point, but where did their opinions differ?
Justice Barrett's reasoning is particularly intriguing. She essentially argued that the benefits and burdens of Proposition 12 are simply too different in nature to be weighed against each other.
So you can't compare apples and oranges, or maybe in this case, apples and pig farms.
Exactly. Justice Barrett seemed to be saying that while the economic costs might be quantifiable, the moral and ethical considerations driving Proposition 12 aren't easily translated into dollars and cents.
Okay.
They exist on a completely different plane.
That's fascinating, even if there's a noticeable economic impact. Justice Barrett believes it's not the court's role to balance those costs against the moral values underpinning the law.
Precisely, and this raises some compelling questions about how courts should handle cases where moral or ethical considerations are interwoven with economic consequences.
This case is much more than just pork, isn't it? It sets a precedent for how courts might approach state laws that touch on ethical issues that could have implications across state lines.
You're spot on. This case could influence future legal battles over state-level regulations that try to address things like environmental concerns, labor standards, or even data privacy, all issues where moral and ethical considerations often collide with economic realities.
This takes us back to our initial question about the balance between local values and national economic interests. It seems like a tightrope walk.
Absolutely. This case underscores the delicate balance between a state's right to regulate within its own borders and the potential impact those regulations can have on interstate commerce. It's a tension that has been debated since the founding of our country.
So where does this leave us? What are the practical takeaways for consumers like you and me? Should we brace ourselves for bacon prices to go through the roof?
It's too early to tell what the long-term impact on prices will be. Remember, the petitioners did argue that Proposition 12 would lead to higher prices, but the market is incredibly adaptable. Producers are usually quite adept at finding ways to adjust to new regulations while keeping their businesses profitable.
So some producers might decide it's not worth the hassle to comply with Proposition 12 and simply exit the California market.
Yeah.
But others might see it as an opportunity to differentiate their products, appealing to consumers who are willing to pay a premium for pork raised under specific conditions.
Exactly. And let's not forget, California is an enormous market. Producers might be willing to make changes to their operations to maintain access to those consumers. It really highlights the power of consumer choice.
That brings us full circle to that vast array of choices we were talking about earlier. Consumer demand plays a significant role in shaping what products are available and how they're produced.
Absolutely. And this case highlights how seemingly simple choices, like what kind of pork we buy, can spark complex legal and political ramifications.
We've covered so much ground, from Proposition 12 and the Dormant Commerce Clause to the extraterritoriality doctrine, the Pike test, and even those fascinating concurring opinions. It's been quite the journey.
We really dove deep into how the Supreme Court navigated these intricate legal arguments, ultimately upholding California's law despite the potential economic implications.
Yeah, I feel like we've been on like a legal roller coaster.
It has been a ride.
Dissecting all these complex arguments.
Yeah.
And exploring that delicate balance between states' rights and
right.
national economic interests.
Yeah, it really underscores how a seemingly simple law about pork production can ignite such a profound legal and philosophical debate.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into all this,
yeah.
what's like the key takeaway that you want our listener to ponder?
I think this case serves as a potent reminder that the lines between local values and national economic interests are becoming increasingly blurred. As consumers grow more aware of the impact of their choices, we can expect to see more state-level regulations addressing ethical concerns,
yeah,
be it about the environment, labor practices, or animal welfare.
It makes you wonder where the line is. Mm-hmm. Can states regulate like any product sold within their borders, even if those regulations impact businesses operating in other states?
Right.
Is this the beginning of a wave of state-level regulations targeting ethical concerns?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
This case leaves us with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
But it sets a fascinating precedent for how courts will handle this tension between local values and national interests in the future.
And it underscores the potential power of consumer choice.
Right.
Will consumers be willing to pay a premium for products that align with their values, even if it means higher prices?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the market will decide how this all plays out.
Well, we've given you a lot to think about today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Proposition 12 and all the fascinating legal and ethical questions it raises.
It's been a pleasure unraveling this case with you.
And to our listener, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep until next time.